Facing challenges and overcoming setbacks is part of doing business. Whether you have the expertise to survive them or not could mean the difference between success or failure. Welcome to We Are Women, featuring revealing conversations that provide invaluable insights into the success secrets of female masterminds. A must listen for every entrepreneurial woman. Now here's your host, Janine Vosper.
Hi, it's Janine Vosper here, and welcome to this episode of the We Are Women podcast. Today, I have Leanne Shelton. So with over 15 years of writing and editorial experience, Leanne started Right Time Marketing as a freelance copywriter in 2014. However, the business has developed into so much more. She now provides content, marketing strategies, and training on topics like business blogging, podcasting, webinars, email marketing, LinkedIn, and the rest. Oh, there's a lot there, Leanne. Leanne's aim is to offer more structure and strategy as well as courage, enabling her clients to stand out from the crowd and spread their message. And to do so effectively and efficiently in the online world. So once the strategy side of things are sorted, Leanne provides her clients the option of learning how to DIY their own marketing. I mean, do it yourself. That's what we're talking about. Yeah. Or hands on all the work, including the copywriting, to Right Time Marketing team. So outside the office, Leanne enjoys dancing, yoga, meditation, jogging, reading business books, and psychological thrillers, as well as listening to inspiring podcasts and chilling with her hubby and two daughters. Welcome, Leanne. It's so lovely to have you on.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here.
I have to comment about the psychological thrillers. I'm terrified in those sort of movies. I love murder mysteries, but I'm not sure about the psychological part. But when you're reading, at least if it gets a bit scary, you can put it down.
Yes. Oh, yeah. If I get to an intense part, I'm like, okay, that I really want to read that, but not before bed. Because I have a pretty wild imagination. I can't watch scary movies because it will then just haunt me for weeks. But the books without the music, without tension, I can handle it a lot better. My sister's the same. We both love those books, but just can't watch the movies. So
I think my fear in those movies came from when I was about 10 and Dad was home, but he was asleep. He was meant to be, you know, looking after us girls. And I turned on a scary movie and it was just terrifying. And Mum was out and I rang my grandmother and I said, I just needed to talk to somebody. And she said, turn it off. I said, no, I can't turn it off, but I've got to have somebody else in the room with me. So I think that's sort of stuck with me since I was about 10-year-old. But yes, I don't mind them in a book or a murder mystery, at least without being too scary.
Yeah.
I know, we're talking about all the important stuff here.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, I think that's important. The Right Time Marketing, that coming from a copywriter, and I know I've read so much information on copywriters saying sometimes they're the best paid people in the world because when you get the words right, you then can target the right audience. And so how did you switch from that? And I mean, tell me about the freelancing and the what you were doing in the media as well.
Yeah, so my background, my very first job at uni, like I did creative writing at uni. Writing's always been my thing. And first job though was in telesales, but it was with News Limited, and I'm like, oh yes, there's opportunities, you know, to move into journalism, which is where I wanted to go. But you know what, the telesales skills that I learned now I can talk to anyone on the phone, and I was working for an online business directory speaking to business owners, which of course is very handy now working B2B. So the telesales, and then I eventually moved into marketing communication roles where there was writing involved, but also events, a bit of PR, and I love that variety. But ultimately what I found was I just kept going back to the writing. And so when I was working at a uni and I had my daughter, came back after 9 months maternity leave, part-time. And I'm like, I was basically doing full-time work, part-time hours. I thought, I really want to start a business. I didn't know what, But I had, while on maternity leave, started dabbling in doing e-newsletters for a couple of sport organisations, and I actually really enjoyed it. And I thought maybe this is something that small business owners could appreciate and I could do for them. And so I started Right Time Marketing with an aim of purely newsletters, and I guess maybe some journalism on the side. And then I started doing some networking and met a website designer who said, hey, could you write website copy? And I'm like, sure, if I have a brief, I can write it, why not? And then I started doing some websites and then learned about blogging. And I really loved blogging because I guess with a freelance journalism background, it's very similar style. And then I had the marketing and sales knowledge to bring into it. So blogging has kind of become one of my key pieces of content that I do, and websites. And but you know what I realized is that I was underselling myself with that sales and marketing background. And so I started telling people, I'm not just a copywriter who take a brief and just make it sound good. I will question, and I'll put on that marketing hat and say, think psychologically, is this going to be the right message? Is this the right medium? Is the flyer the best option for you? What's your website look like? How are you showing up on social media? And so I kind of started pushing that a little bit more, that I do the holistic package. And then just in the last 12 months, I realized that during COVID, people didn't necessarily have the budget for copywriting. It's often seen as a unnecessary expense or a luxury. Like, people are like, oh, I'll just write my own website copy, and can cringe a bit, but but strategy though, and the content marketing strategy, it's something that a lot of people have found just get overwhelmed with and don't know where to start, what marketing platforms are the best ones for them and their audience. And so, I'm moving more into strategy and going, because I realized from one of those personality tests that strategy is like my number one strength. So I'm like, well, if I can help people with this and then give them clarity and then go, all right, now, how do you feel with writing it? Do you need to hand it over to me? Yes, then let's do it. Or yes, you want to give it a go writing it yourself, but I can then give that training, like the SEO, how to write it, or just how to be more consistent on social media and how to make an engaging post, things like that. So that's kind of a little journey in a nutshell where I've come from.
They all sort of join on. I'm just checking my sound's okay, isn't it? I turned it off to cough, and I'm thinking, do I turn it back on? Oh, very good. So funny, because I covered my mouth to cough. I mean, we're online. If I hadn't have done that, nobody would have known that I was coughing. I just have it. That journey, it all makes a whole lot of sense because it's all tied in together. And I love when you said you found that strategy was your thing. So that's what often happens when people go from one to another, but they're all tied in together. But finding how to link that as a business and to be able to create something that you can really offer somebody as a whole package is the strategy. And it's really cool because when I work with women who are a bit lost on what they're doing, and it's finding that word, that one word. And I often get people to say, well, what do people buy off you in one word? And they buy the strategy. That's very cool.
Yes. And so once you have that strategy, or even just like the clarity of where you are going and the steps to take, and so many business owners get stuck working for the clients all the time, and their own stuff just gets pushed back and back and back. And look, I was the type of person, I guess 18 months ago, oh yes, do content marketing. I don't really have time for it myself, but it's great. Do as I say and as I do. But, the last 12 months or 18 months, I've really upped my game in my socials and LinkedIn and everything like that. I started a podcast 12 months ago, been doing a lot of free webinars as a lead magnet. Mm-hmm. And I've seen what a difference it makes. I've gotten customers from my podcast. I've had people tell me I'm always at the top of their newsfeed and LinkedIn, and or they've said, I love your webinars. How can I sign up to your membership or get you to do my website? So I know from now my experience, it does work. And so it gives me that confidence to say to people, all right, let me give you that strategy. As long as you follow it, it will work.
Taking action. I know I just had a meeting with one of my clients and that was one of the things she said, oh, I've got to take action. She just said, I just wanted to poof, magic pill. And it all happened.
Yeah, the strategy, that's great. And look, I did fall in that trap that I was doing these half-day strategies for people and they're going, here you go, now you got your plan. And I think one did put it into action. The other I got in touch with a month or so later and said, yeah, I haven't touched it yet. And so it's like just a complete waste. Mm. And so I've now put together like little like monthly packages, whether it's from just touching base a couple of times over the 3 month plan, or it is fortnightly accountability and training calls, or it is just hand it over, just get it all happening, Leanne. I don't want to think about it. And so it's, yeah, there's certainly a new thing I've put together, but I'm getting good feedback about that implementation side of it, whether it's pushing them to do it or just doing it.
Yes. And look, and that's just the thing, isn't it? Some people just need you to do it for them. And if that's an option, because, you know, there's a lot of, we get good at being a technician in our business with whatever we're doing. And, you know, I know you work with particularly in the health market as well. So someone might be, you know, great naturopath or masseur, and they just don't want to be doing anything to do with marketing. Just make it happen, Leanne, as you said, and they hand it over. And other people do want to have a lot more control of it. And again, it's their personalities and what becomes a priority. And this is the thing with anything in life, but particularly with something that you either do or don't like doing, or I speak on, you know, goal setting and how to achieve it, is doing something, is that towards your goal? You know, is that towards the outcome that you want? And that's what you do with marketing when you'd be figuring out that strategy, wouldn't you?
Yeah, 100%. And I do emphasize that marketing is a long game, and it's because it is about building out that visibility. I used to think, I mean, there was a stat before, it was like 7 to 9 touch points before someone, you know, was ready to do business with you. And then recently someone said it's actually 21 touch points now.
Yeah.
It keeps going up.
I know, it was 11 a couple of years ago or something.
Yeah, yeah. Someone said it's like 21 now. And I guess because we do have that information easy to access, so we can listen to multiple podcast episodes, we can see multiple social media posts, you know, and obviously if you're posting a couple of times a day, that could be 2 touch points there. So it may not take months and months and months, but there, I mean, look, I just recently been signed up to people who mid-November they told me they, or around November, they started following me, and it was now 3 months later. And so I did hear that around the 3 month mark, usually that's you've made the touch points over the 3 months, maybe, I don't know, but that's something as well. Like I say to people, the marketing, you can't just expect instant results. Yes, you do need to still have a sales strategy and wrapped up in that. So making phone calls, actually sending private messages to people, personalized emails, networking, you know, we're both big on networking. That's all has to be part of it. You can't just say I'm going to have a whole bunch of social media posts and blogs and then that's it. You need to be engaged as well and converting it.
Yeah, that's an important factor. And I've interviewed on the podcast, you know, quite a few people that do marketing in all different forms. And I work closely with people in marketing, and people get confused then. They go, well, you're in sales and they're in marketing, and how you're both doing the same thing. No, we're not. And I said that I usually say that it's around the wrong way. It should be marketing and sales, because the marketing comes first. And so Leanne, you get them to the door and I help people get them through the door. And that is the difference between, but we both understand concepts of both sides of doing that and can do bits of both. But it's like anything you do, you want to be, and I've been putting out posts today just on, I do a 60 second business bite, and the ones I've been putting up today is about being the heart surgeon and not the GP, because you're going to get paid more, and that's what you want to be doing in your business, isn't it?
Yeah, well, that's why I niched into the health and wellness space. Mm-hmm. Yeah, about the 18 month mark. because like I was scared to go beyond being a generalist copywriter because I thought, oh, I don't want to cut off any opportunities. But I had heard, and I was part of a copywriting community, and there were some people in the niche, and how well they were doing, because people then seek them and it's easier to refer people, go, oh, she's a health and wellness copywriter, go to her, rather than she's copywriting, don't know if she does my industry or not, or oh, I'm not sure, oh, but here's a health and wellness copywriter. And then it's like a sure thing, you know, you don't want to. And so I wasn't sure how to niche, to be honest. I started with doing like, oh, it was like personal and business development, which was still very broad. And I then had opportunity to write for like two like e-learning type things, which is just a lot of corporate stuff still. And like, actually, this doesn't sit right, but it comes under an umbrella of business development. And I was having a chat with someone else going, oh, maybe, look, I've written some blogs and things for like some financial institutes, including Xero and a couple of bookkeepers. Maybe I should do that. That's where the money is. And they just turned around and there's one question, one word, why? And I'm like, you're right.
Such interesting topics to write about.
Yeah. And I'm like, actually, you're right. I don't align with finance. And they said, why not health? And I'm like, well, let's think of it this way. When I'm at networking events, who do I naturally attract and gravitate towards? Those in health and wellness, like those who are alternative therapies. I'm fascinated by it. I'm all about, I love mindset, positive thinking, you know, law of attraction, abundance thinking, all this kind of stuff, and spirituality in general. And they're my people. And when I'm writing in that space, it just flows. Mm. And if I'm doing strategy, I get where they're at. And it just all kind of fell into place. And that's where I'm like, all right, my podcast is going to be on this. My meetup that I run, which was attracting probably 80-90% health and wellness anyway. I made that official. And and then my clients now, most of them are in the health and wellness space. Mm. And so they've kind of then been drawn to me because I've said this is my niche. So I spoke to a psychologist the other day, and she says, I target everyone.
And like, that's my fear when I talk to people about who do you target? Oh, everyone. No, everyone could possibly use your service and product, but you don't target everyone.
No, and I said, this is why you're kind of struggling here with your website, your messaging. I said, who are your favorite people to work with? And she goes, actually, yeah, I've been doing this for 10, 15 years. I can easily tell you the types of people I really want to work with. I said, okay, you're going to niche into that. And I mean, look, adults and kids, that's fine. It's like kids, NDIS or something, and adults with another, you know, certain condition. Mm. Great. That's what you're going to do. And then it'll just be so much easier for people to come to you knowing you deal with that particular issue and you specialize in it. So I'm now, yeah, I'm a convert that niching is good.
yeah, it's so important. And it's really interesting. You're just saying about NDIS. So my son is looking for some NDIS therapist. So that's what he goes searching for, is somebody and it's the same. He's looking for childcare that can help with autistic children. So that's what he's searching for, not just any general childcare centre, even though they'll say we can have children that have autism, but they're not the specialist in that field. And that's where you want to be seen as I said, the heart surgeon and not the GP. And because the heart surgeon gets paid a lot more than the GP.
Yeah, that's it. So you can then, yeah, because your demand will be more because you're in, you know, and you really know that area. So you can charge more. And I'm getting better with the charging more than I was in the past. But yeah, 100%. People are willing to pay more for experts, your heart surgeon. They're going to invest a lot because, well, their life's probably on the line, right?
Yeah. And it's a given. Okay, well, that's what I've got to do. You know, there's no choice in the matter. So, it just makes sense. But I know I was talking to a client this morning and she was saying that, you know, her father's old school that just wants to target everybody, and she's been doing some work with me and she's trying to get them to niche down. But the fear of missing out is greater than the understanding that when you target people will go, that's what I want.
My client as well, she's like, oh, but what if someone comes to me who's outside of this particular niche? I said, you can make the choice if you want to take them on or not. You don't, it's your business. Like, you don't have to knock them back and just go, oh no. If you, and I'm the same, if it's someone I have a really good connection with, but it's a little bit outside of what I do, then I might be open to it. Or I might say, I personally can't help you, but I have another copywriter who can help and get like a referral fee. And so I don't want to, yeah, say no completely. Just be open to it. But in terms of your messaging, which helps the SEO, which when people are searching for you, you're more likely to come up if you are targeting.
Mm. I know, I work with women. You know, I have women's mastermind groups, I have women's groups. I've got male clients.
That's it, exactly.
Because they find you, you know, that's fine. It's you will get the other people. It's just that you have that. So, and the thing is then, and that's the thing with marketing, you have the right conversation with the right person and they go, you understand my problem.
Exactly.
Mm, yeah. So talking about problems, what problems do you see from that particular market with their marketing and,
yeah, so that's another thing. I guess when you do have a target market, you can really get a good feel of their problems. And I still want to do a bit more research on this, but from those I've spoken to, when I've mentioned my like strategy sessions, a lot of health and wellness, they obviously want to make an impact, right? They want to save lives or improve lives. And they've got great aspirations, but they're quite often, you know, they're all about heads in the clouds a bit dreamy, but how do I create structure and strategy around what I actually want to do, the impact I want to make? And so that's where, like, I spoke to someone recently who I said, suggested this idea to her, how about a half day strategy? We just smashed it out. I put together a 3-month plan for you. And she's like, oh, and the word overwhelmed comes up a lot. She goes, I get very overwhelmed with marketing, where to start, what I need to do, the right actions to take. But if someone can give me a plan that I can follow, then I'm jumping onto it. Mm. And I find that, yeah, a lot of the health and wellness people I work with are like that. They've got all these ideas, but just don't know how to really break that down into bite-sized chunks to action without getting all overwhelmed and just kind of going, oh, it's just all too hard. I'll just throw out a couple of social media posts here and then I think of it. And there's no real strategy to it. So I'm like, okay, well, I get your headspace. I know your industry. Your clients need to hear your message. Let's make it happen.
Yeah, yeah. And I can really understand that. I work with, you know, a lot of people in that health space as well. It's really interesting. In my sole trader market, I've got two distinct markets. One is bookkeepers and accountants, and the other is health professionals, which is really quite different from each other. And they're
all awesome. Yeah, I've done as well.
Well, there's a lot of women stepping out of corporate roles, and they have that experience, and so they take that into their own business. I think that, or they, so the bookkeeping accounting tends to go there, and the health tends to be they've studied up to move into something different. And I just love working with women in those spaces, because I mean, we're all passionate about our own business, and that sole trader is that. And you can't be everything. You can't be, you know, wear all of the hats in your business. This is, out of anything that you need to know and to do, is to get people to help you with certain things. Figure out what's your priority. This is when you're writing your goals at the beginning of the year. You can write goals anytime, by the way, but most people choose to write them at the beginning of the year. But you figure out what your priorities are for the year. And then if your priorities are to particularly grow your business, then you get someone like yourself to help them figure out how.
Yes. Mm. Yes. And like I did a little video actually shared across the socials about resolutions. Just cross that out, because that is wishful thoughts. So you can't quite grasp, or there's no real meat to them. Mm-hmm. Goals are great, because that gives you a focus. The strategy is what actually gets it happening. Mm-hmm. And so you can set a goal, go, oh yeah, look, I've had this goal of being able to run 10Ks without stopping. But I had set myself that goal, but didn't really create a proper plan and strategy to be able to get to that point. Mm-hmm. Or I did at the beginning of last year, and then COVID, and I just made excuses.
That was a great excuse for everything last year.
But I'm trying to get back into it. So I'm like, all right, I'm getting back into early morning wake ups and, you know, going for jogs, say, 3 times a week. And I'll just keep pushing myself to run a bit further without stopping and things like that. So, yeah, you can have the goal, but if you don't have the strategy behind it, like, oh, I want to launch a program. Great. So before you know it, 3 months will go by and you haven't launched the program because you need to kind of go backwards. Go, all right, launch it then. What are the steps before it that I need to take? And then if you can really get it down to micro actions and here I just have to do this one little bit every day or one little bit a week, then it's easy. But just getting your head into that space is going to be quite hard.
Yeah. And it is when, and it depends on your personality. I mean, I'm ridiculous about actions and steps and things like that. You know, I post each day, but I have also have Hootsuite programmed. So I can, it comes across 4 or 5 different platforms every day, this particular thing. And it's a schedule on a certain type of post on a certain day. And it structured out. I have quotes structured until the 30th December this year. And what are we in January? So yes, it's to the next degree. But you know what? You know why I do it? I like free time. So if I can chunk that out and spend a couple of hours creating all of those posts and then programming them, then they're done. And then I don't have to look at those again until next year.
Yes. And look, I've done a bit of the outsourcing thing too. And I got a bookkeeper maybe about a year ago. So I'm like, good, I don't have to worry about reconciling because it turns out I don't know how to reconcile. So I can use it to handle the QuickBooks.
Me neither.
I thought I was doing it right, but I wasn't. Then my accountant came out going, tax time, massive email, no idea what you're going on about here, to my bookkeeper. Anyway, so I outsourced that stuff and that was really helpful with all JobKeeper payments and my boss just tells me how much I need to pay. Good, he's paid, don't think about it. Mm-hmm. Takes a lot of headspace, room in my brain I don't need. But the other thing, so yeah, around November, which is actually when my clients, these new clients started following me, probably not a coincidence, I started with a part-time offshore VA. Mm. And her main focus though was marketing. So she's a marketing assistant. And I particularly asked for someone, through the BX network, actually, I found this contact and she is a marketing person. And so she has been going through all my past podcasts, creating multiple posts from each episode, which I'm like 60 episodes, but I don't only ever do an intro post. So much content, going through them and reposting things and getting those, the frequency happening, which was brilliant. Cause I'm like, I'm in marketing. I know what I should be doing. I physically don't have the time to do it.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. Time is a factor for everyone, isn't it? Yeah. And it's smart. Yeah.
And so it's made a big difference. Like, as you know, people always saying at the top of their LinkedIn newsfeed, even if they've got 5,000 connections, I'm always at the top whenever they open up LinkedIn, things like that. And I'm like, it does come down to what she's helped me do. And then I've also, I have a meetup group, which just be fiddly little things like asking people to be in presenters or sending reminders. And I've offloaded pretty much all that to her. And all I have to do is show up to the meeting and respond to some comments in the Facebook group. And my podcast, she's managing all the admin side. Something changes, I just let her know. All this stuff, I've just got someone else doing. So I have time for the sales calls, which will actually convert. Time to the proposals, time to write the copy, time to the interviews like this, which obviously help with branding and everything like that. And yeah, so it was a scary expense because it was part-time, like 80 hours, talking about, $1,300 a month. But I'm like, I think this is going to be worth it. And it has paid off. So I'm very thankful for that. And she's been brilliant.
Yeah, excellent. I know it's interesting. I got a VA when COVID hit last year. It was probably the time I didn't need one. And it was great with the work that she was doing. The issue with mine, she outsourced some of it and then it wasn't as same a quality as what she had been doing. So it's something I need to revisit again this year because it is important and it's important to know. Again, we were just talking about that. And you've even got somebody that's in your field helping you, you know, and we all need that assistance. I think having a coach in anything is such an important factor when you know that, again, like I said, you've set your goal and how are you going to get it by setting the strategy and taking action. I listened to something the other day and they said, what's the difference between a goal and a wish? And it was a date. So there you go for your running.
Yeah, I know. I haven't done that. I haven't set by 30th of June. You can do this. But I think it will be easier because I was doing the park runs and that would – because when you're running with a crowd of people, it does push you to keep going and you don't want to stop because you're like, oh, but I want to keep up with that person at my paces. Mm. And so that kind of stopped, you know, not long into last year. And so that was going to be one of my ways to go weekly and that will push me into doing it. Mm. But then it's on to me. I'm like, okay, I need to just make this happen and give myself the time to do it, knowing I can't run 10Ks in half an hour. I need to allocate, you know, at least an hour to be able to do it. Anyway, so I've got to, maybe I should just go, all right, 30th of June, just work backwards from there.
Yep.
Like my running just like I would with my business.
Yeah, absolutely. Set the strategy, set the day. I used to be a runner, but I don't run now. I walk fast. My orthopedic surgeon loves me because I was a runner.
So you're someone who were netball players.
A netball player. Yeah. There's the scars to prove it. Yeah. Hospital stay. So now what important factors do you want to share before you go? You know, when people are doing their marketing and their strategy, what's important?
Yeah, I think, look, it sounds a bit abrupt to say this, but get over yourself a bit. I talk to a lot of people and they're like, I don't think people care about what I have to say. It's like their own insecurities are often holding them back. And I've overcome those. Like you may not know it now. People who know me now wouldn't know this, but I had like low self-esteem as a child, teen, young adult. And I've been through this whole confidence journey and I realized, well, life's too short to second guess everything and worry about what other people think. So, I mean, that's where it comes into with your messaging, your targeting. If you really know your audience well, then you can get your message right. And then the right people will want to hear what you have to say. So you're actually doing them a disservice by not showing up and giving them advice. Mm-hmm. And look, when I say, you know, on socials and everything like that, and emails, you're not sell. It is value adding. You're giving them advice and tips on whatever you do. Storytelling. Some of my best posts are purely like I just put up one last night. I went to an Indian restaurant for a networking event and dressed up in a sari. And I had so many people comment and like it. Mm. Or my little business getaway. And so the people are getting to know you, like, and trust you. And then the business stuff kind of comes later. So then when you share the business post, then it's like, well, I love who they are. Oh, I like the sound of what they do. Let's work with them. And so if you're always thinking about, oh, I don't have anything of value to say, or I just do this, then you're never going to get your message heard and then the right people aren't going to come to you. Mm. And I've even opened up the mind to people like, I just do this product, like photo products. Just make the photos look pretty. And I'll say, actually, no, you're so much more than that. What do photos represent? It's memories. It's for those who are aged. It's what they cling on to stay connected to their memory. If it's babies, it's how it helps develop those neural pathways of who's who in their family and what, you know, words and what images match together. And so I really have to think more big picture. So I think don't undersell yourself, undervalue yourself. Think about what you're actually doing for your audience and share. You have so much to offer. So get over yourself, get in front of video as well. Just don't watch yourself back if you hate watching yourself back. I personally don't even listen to my own podcast because I don't listen to my own voice. If that's what you
need. Voice is an interesting thing. I mean, I've been doing the podcast for 4 years now and got very used to it anyway. And I do lots of recordings of things. Yeah. And so but the thing is, that's how other people hear you all the time. So knowing that, it's, oh, okay. nobody else has ever said to me, oh, yuck. You know, so.
It's only you. I mean, look, okay, my husband, because apparently how I talk around the family is a lot more relaxed to my presenting voice in my podcast. So he goes, I can't listen to you because that's not you. Your voice is completely different. Like, because I'm in presenter mode. And
yep.
This is what I like, is my professional persona. And when I'm obviously a mum and wife, I'm a lot more relaxed and probably slur my words a lot more like a typical Aussie I am. And, you know, and so I am a little bit different, but yeah, so yeah, he's my only critic, I think.
Oh yeah, they make good critics.
I think ignore him, go, you're not my target market. I don't care. What are you?
I know. The thing, so funny, I've written a couple of books and my husband, he's read them, and but the second book particularly he read, it was, it's called Being Unstoppable, and he's read it and gone, this is really good.
Oh really? Thanks, I'm surprised.
Well, thanks, I've sold a few hundred copies. Other people probably thought so as well. It was, but he said no, it's really good. And it was great. It was great to get that from him, because they're usually the harshest critics, and not because they're being harsh, it's just that, oh, okay. That's what you do as well. You're not just a mom.
Yes, that's a thing.
Yeah, absolutely. So quickly, three takeaway points. And I think you covered one of them then, is that step out and let people see you.
Yes. So what else I want to say? Yes. Okay. So making sure you allocate time to do your marketing every week. It does, your week just flies by, especially if you've got back-to-back meetings or constant with clients or whatever it is. And so you actually have to block out that time to go, all right, yeah, like what you were saying, Janine, like you block out that time to write those social media posts, and you just bulk it and then you get it done. So make it like a non-negotiable. As someone told me, it was like a doctor's appointment. You cannot, like, that is locked in. You need to take care of the health of your business, right? Mm-hmm. So make that happen, and maybe you want to start with half a day and then see how long it takes you to write a blog, to write this post, to work on that webinar, whatever it is. And if you've like, oh, I actually need a little bit more time to get that done, to reach my goals that I want to, you know, I'm working towards, then you kind of add more time slots in your week. But yeah, just make sure it's blocked into your calendar, which would be 1 month. Yes, the other one, yes, to step up and be visible. The right people want to see you and want to hear what you have to say. And I guess with the targeting thing as well, another important point of knowing who you're speaking to is then knowing where to show up. So there's no point, you know, going on TikTok because everyone else is, but then your target audience isn't hanging out there, or you're all on LinkedIn, but everyone else really you should be on Instagram, or being on Instagram, but really they're on LinkedIn. Mm-hmm. Or you send all these emails, but really SMS is the best way to really connect with them and get instant responses. Mm-hmm. So you just kind of get a feel of that. And that can be through a little bit of market research, asking your current clients, putting into one of those business Facebook groups, you know, which do you prefer? And, you know, for those in this industry, which method of communication do you prefer? And yeah, and then start, it may not even be a channel that you're comfortable with, but maybe that's where they are. So you got to be where your audience is. Otherwise you're wasting your time.
Yeah. And that's the thing, you are. I know I was with a whole group of small business owners or medium-sized business owners recently, and all very busy people. And we were talking about how you're marketing, and particularly my marketing to that market in sales training is through LinkedIn. Too busy. They don't go on that at all. It was really interesting to go, okay, so where do you go? Well, nowhere, we're too busy. Come and knock on our door.
There you go. Maybe the calls are the best thing to do. It is actually showing up, calling to book in a face-to-face meeting. And that's the thing. You've got to work out what's actually going to work, because you don't want to be, banging your head against a brick wall and, you know, trying things that don't work.
And there's crickets out there and there's nothing.
Crickets, or putting together a whole program and then finding out no one actually wants the program too. That's one of those things with courses and things. Doing that research and finding out people are actually interested, which is where you open up the doors and go early bird, or, you know, just don't even plan all your content until you know people actually.
I've got two full online training programs, and particularly with both of them, I created one module and then sold it. Yeah. Then like a little duck paddling very, very quickly because people wanted the next lot of modules as they came along, but that's fine. I'd sold them. So that was worthwhile putting the time into it. And
yes.
Most people have to get everything perfect. Well, what their idea of perfection is before they take the steps. And it's not, you don't know until you get somebody paying you for things.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And so you can put together 10 modules and then no one signs up. You go, I just spent 6 months putting this together for nothing.
Mm.
Yeah. So you're better at the one module with the skeleton of the rest, and or even put together two modules and always be at least 1 week behind.
Oh, they had one client that came in, because most people don't care. They take ages to do them anyway. But the one was, okay, so when's the next one ready? I've finished that one now. Well, what I want you to do is take a couple of weeks, because it just really need to embed that and think about what you're doing, and then it'll be the next one will be 2 weeks off. And it gave me deadlines. Talk about deadlines.
Yeah.
Well, it was awesome. But it all got created, which is fun. How can people work with you and get in touch with you?
Yeah, so can connect with me on LinkedIn. That's just look for Leanne Shelton. Don't think there's many Leanne Shelton, so you should be able to find me. Look up, obviously, the marketing and copywriting all at my profile. Or you can go to my website, right? So it's WRITE, oh, like a good pun, righttimemarketing.com.au. And yeah, and just organize a chat with me. My phone number is also on there too. Feel free to contact me and we can line up a little 15-minute chat to see if we can work together, what you actually need. And if I personally can't help you, then I'm happy to pass you on to someone. I'm very well connected, so I'll be able to help you out regardless.
Yeah, that's wonderful. Great information. I've really enjoyed our conversation. Time's gone very quickly. I say that at the end of nearly every interview and go, really? Is that the time already?
Oh,
it's, yeah, it's gone fast. And look, there's terrific information that people can adapt and apply straight away into their business, no matter what industry they are in. Thank you, Leanne. And all of the contact details will be on the course notes, the podcast notes as well.
Thank you so much. I've enjoyed it.
Thank you. And that's another episode of the We Are Women podcast. And remember, go to my website, JeaneVosper.com. If you want to book a strategy call talking about strategies and how I can help with your sales or your presenting, something that you might need in your business. And very much like Leanne, I'm very well connected. If I can't help you, then I am happy to recommend you to somebody that I've used or that I know will be able to help you with your issues. So, and remember, 5-star review if you've loved what you've heard today. I will see you back here listening or watching again next time. Bye for now. Now, every time I do this, I forget to take a photo. I'm doing it now. And I have to scroll through the film to find when we're both looking up and got a smile, but I'm going to do that right now. It's the first one I've remembered to do it. Here we go. And we smile. Lovely. Good, we got that. And awesome. I will pop that right up there where we put
it. Yeah, I did that at the beginning, I forgot, and then I just haven't done it for a while. I have been doing, I've been, before the episode starts, I do like live to Facebook, and so I do a little teaser video, and so that's kind of been my, yeah, I guess, alternative to a thumbnail image.
Yeah, okay. So what, yeah, so I yes, because this will be, March, April, probably,
yep,
by the time it comes out. So, yeah, again, it's telling people I'm doing these things and this is, yeah, promoting.
Yep.
I put a thing out last night just asking for people to subscribe to my YouTube channel, because somebody said it somewhere on last night I was listening to, if you get 100 subscribers, you can put the YouTube channel in your name and not just numbers.
Oh.
And I only had 30, and I've had all these people today go, sure. So I've got, it's very cool. Oh, three people unsubscribed. There were 63.
No, it's all right. Not your people.
They were 30. Now they're 60. So.
Yeah, cool. Yeah. I'm trying to get all my episodes up into YouTube now. That's what's my VA is helping me do right now. Yeah, 60 episodes. Well, the first 10, I accidentally deleted them without the video. I got rid of the video files. So I'm like, 50 episodes. We've got like a year's worth and we do it weekly. Well, obviously can do more, but I just get stumped at the creating that initial graphic and stuff. And she goes, oh, I can do that. I've done that in a past job. Brilliant. So she's got two ready to go. They are one of my like two solo earlier podcast episodes. They're a little bit awkward to watch, but it's something.
It's all good. Yeah. I love doing the graphics and that. That's my creative escape because I didn't know people weren't until quite a few years ago. I have a little filing cabinet where you can put things in a file, close the drawer, and you can just start on something else. But it and you open the drawer and find it, and it's right there. And so I'm very, you know, what is that? Right brained. That's left brained.
Yeah. I was just getting mixed up with
you. So do I. Right. And I have a little thing, right is right. Left is. So my left brain creative is creating graphics and doing all of the and finding the right picture.
I can do, like, I love playing around with Canva as well. Mm. And I did actually for the BX magazine, since I was a finalist, so the opportunity to have an ad in their magazine they're putting together. And so I'm like, okay, I can put together that ad. And I played around with it, got some feedback. A couple of people go, okay, not quite right. Played around with it. They're like, yeah, that's better. So I do like playing around with it, but it just kind of, I don't know, it was just stopping me going, then how do you add that to a video, like that technical element? I'm like, because I don't edit my podcast, it goes to the podcast VA, and I just like, anything that gets too fiddly, I just get frustrated with it. So, and so when she's like, oh, I can do that, and she's the very first graphic she put together, I'm like, perfect. So I'm like, done. Now just go repeat that for all the
So how many hours a month do you get, or a week?
She's like 80 hours a month.
80 hours a month.
So this is through Clayton Navarro, VA World Outsourcing. Okay. Highly recommend them. So Clayton's based in Sydney, and he's the director, and then there's Karen, she's like the manager in the Philippines, and they have a recruitment officer in the Philippines, Leah. And they're just brilliant. Like, it was a really smooth process. They pay them as well 60%. I know a lot of places only pay them 40%. Mm-hmm. So I know she gets paid well, and they always do check-ins with her and me. Everyone's happy. They've only been around just over a year, but they're like 100% retention rate already. So
anyway, cool. How much is their hourly rate?
I think it's roughly around about $16 an hour I'm paying.
Yeah. Okay.
Because it's about 1,300 or so a month.
Yeah.
And I mean, look, it freaked me out initially. It's like, oh, a contractor, blah blah blah. Actually, no. It's like I am getting a part-time employee. Crap.
Yeah.
But she's done a really good job, and because I said they help you put together the role description, I said I don't want someone answering emails. I want someone marketing knowledge to create social media posts. She's often giving me ideas. Why don't we do this and this? She's created these engaging posters, fun, quirky things, which on brand as well. And she's just been brilliant. So I'm like, yeah, they found the right person for me. Mm-hmm. And I think if you do have more of the admin roles, then it is a little bit cheaper. But because I wanted someone, I mean, she's only 21, but done a lot of marketing stuff through uni and job out of uni. So
yeah, cool.
Yeah.
And that's Australian dollars?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. Because yes, I got. Get caught out sometimes with the US dollars.
They do
dollars.
Both, I know, part-time and full-time options.
Yeah, okay.
So,
all right.
If you want, I can introduce you. I've sent a lot of people Clayton's way. But, yeah, I'm happy to introduce
you. Yeah, no, do that. I might not act on it in the next month, but it's something I need to get back into doing.
Cool. As well, so.
Okay. All right, that's great. All right, thank you for your time, and I look forward to chatting again
in April. So yeah, probably around the time we chat, my episode would have just gone live then.
Probably, yeah.
You're well timed.
Yeah, it'll be good. I did have someone overseas doing all of the editing, and then someone back here doing all the editing. But I have an intro and outro. I just do everything on Zoom now. It's really easy. So yeah,
I was pretty much, they just helped me with the putting the music. I also say my intro and outro. I do a summary kind of intro thing as well after the episode. It sums it up. So they just connect that with the main body and add the music. And then if something happens, like my computer's too full, and I have to do two separate files, like combine them for me. So yeah, I pay like $350 a month for them just to do those four episodes. And
Yeah, I was. And I just went, you know what, I can do this. So
if you can do it, yeah. For me, I was like, I'm just going to get annoyed with it and it'll just not happen. Flip it off, like the outsourcing thing again.
I'll create this in about 20 minutes when we get off here. It'll be done and uploaded and sitting there. And it's the course notes that take me the longest to put together.
Yeah.
It's only a few paragraphs anyway. So
Yeah.
Okay. No, that'd be good, having someone doing all those steps too.
steps.
Yeah.
So you can say, I want someone to help with my podcast, for example, and then they can even find someone who's experienced in that area.
Yeah, no, definitely. Yeah. Oh, you have a lovely day. I'm going to go have some lunch now. It's 1 o'clock here, so we're all good. And looking outside, I think we've had some rain. Yay. We like rain. All right. Lovely chatting. Thanks a lot, Leanne. I'll let you know when it's all live and we'll talk to you anyway. Okay.
That's good. Thank you. Bye.
So, do you feel stuck in a rut in business? Visit speechperfect.com.au and download Janine's free ebook to avoid the 5 most common stumbling blocks women face in business. It's jam-packed full of tips to overcome the barriers that could be holding you back from the success that you dream your business will be. We would love you to leave a review of today's episode and share this podcast with other women in need of entrepreneurial inspiration. Subscribe to the next episode now and join the We Are Women community.